Welcome back to Heartfire
Tales.
Tales.
Ah! Hello. Ta-da.
Hey.
Look who's back in the recording studio.
Hi, I was here all along.
You were here all along.
That was terrifying.
Yeah, you're kind of just staring at us.
I never blinked.
Yeah, what's nice about, like, okay, I know we do live shows, but like, what's nice about doing a podcast is that, like, you don't have an audience. You kind of like, you just let the audience.
Oh, I was the judgiest audience.
He's so judgy. Like, he was just not hiding his facial expressions at all.
Yeah. Just raw disgust. Sometimes
just on his phone.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I was putting an order through. Very impressed with Ryan.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I was also impressed with Ryan.
Yeah.
I'm
leaving it there.
Yeah, no.
Draw from that what you will.
I absolutely understand.
It was the fact that I was naked while we were recording.
Honestly, it helped me as an audience member.
Yeah. Just.
Sorry, no. I'm not good. The studio isn't good enough for me. Okay, I'm back.
Just naked emotions. At naked Ryan.
We said we needed you raw for that episode.
Oh boy, we left him raw.
That's how I always record. That's why the guys were terrified when I stood up and played the ukulele that time.
Yeah.
The ukulele is not big enough to cover what's down there. He has to hold that so high up.
Usually people use their hands to play those things.
That's right. Oh. Dylan said a ukulele is not big enough to cover what's down there.
Yeah, because it's too high up. Not because you got a fucking acoustic-sized guitar dick.
That'd be terrifying, actually. I would hate that.
Yeah, everyone would.
Anyway,
but look, okay, none of that is here or there. We have been out of the main podcast for a little while. It's been like a month since our last Lethwon episode. And so, yeah, let's do a little bit of a recap just to set the scene as to where we are. You guys have obviously saved Stone's Reach. You have, of course, at the loss of Con Greystone, who heroically gave his life. But you have saved Stone's Reach, and now, Cid, you've returned to town to hit the books hard. You have brought Stormzy's research papers with you. You are doing your own research. And, of course, you are also investigating what's going on maybe with your dream psychic abilities. So that's all very interesting. And, yeah, so from that, let's step into it. So, that meeting, that final meeting with Herman was 6 months ago.
Okay.
So we're doing a bit of a time skip.
That's a big old time skip. You love to see it.
The scene opens in town. Mm. For the benefit of maybe new listeners, we might give a very brief introduction to town, what it looks like and what its purpose is. Ryan.
Yeah. So town is a town that is devoted entirely to like record keeping and studying. The entire thing is the largest place in the entire area is a huge library that is carved into the side of the mountain. It's completely neutral. No affiliation with any of the surrounding like
provinces
or anything like that. And it's an understanding across the entire nation that the town is neutral, and that, you know, there needs to nobody messes with them. Nobody tries to take advantage. It's knowledge is for everyone. Knowledge is neutral. It's up to people what they want to do with that knowledge. And so it's a commune. There's no understanding of like currency or anything because they don't really use it. You'll see like most of the places are built by other people like dwarves or other surrounding cities in exchange for knowledge. So none of the buildings really look all the same. And you'll see ornate stuff just like weirdly about because, you know, they don't really, people will give them jewels and gold, but they don't really put any value in those things. Their value is in books.
Yeah. So in this commune of keepers of knowledge, this big librarian commune, to the audience, to say almost like a cold open or something of sorts, you see two figures. Actually, no, I think you would see three figures walking into town, into this valley that is town. And you see they start asking around for someone, and they're walking through the village and, you know, it, or through the town, I should say. And town is quite big. It's, you know, probably a few thousand people, maybe. there, like it is a town.
It is that's how it got its name. It is now like explicitly how many people should be in a town.
Yeah. So it takes quite a while, or rather you would expect it to take quite a while to find one particular person in a town of this size, but actually pretty quickly these three figures are directed to a house, and it's a relatively, you know, modest but large house with, again, these kind of like weirdly ornate decorations kind of scattered around. And you see that there's like bunting and stuff around it in a very kind of like practical, like, today is a celebration day and we have this like communal bunting that just gets passed around whenever it's someone's whenever there's something to be celebrated. And you see that these figures knock on the door and the door is answered, and you know, inside you'd see kind of like a lot of like bustling. You see various kind of professors of the town will be there, other people who are maybe, you know, late teenagers, early adults, young adults, kind of like everyone walking around, but still the person, this, you know, this middle-aged woman who's looking a little bit flustered and, you know, looks as if she's not annoyed but uncomfortable about being taken away from the party, that she can't be looking after everyone, and that she has to go and answer the door. And she kind of like shakes her head no and gives directions to... Where does she give directions to, Ryan?
So today is Sid's 18th birthday. He's been, you know, looking forward to this and for a long time been talking about it. And in Lethwan, the drinking age is 18.
Yeah, we're in Europe, boys. None of this American stuff. Yeah.
Take that, Americans.
Con is gone one episode.
But what's going on inside is the birthday party for him. But he is not there. Yeah, my mother points them to the tavern. It's called Tavern. And when they go in, they go to this tavern. It's a nice tavern. They open it, and the main owner, not really owner, but the main bartender, Margot, and the other two members of her nuclear family, Sue and Sue.
Sure. I'm sure
deep
that's a
cut.
Yeah, band I'm sure
reference.
That's a band reference, but yeah, not getting
not
it.
One I get.
No. If you get that, let us know. Ryan will be happy.
Yes. And direct them back to a kind of a dark corner of the tavern. And at a table, sitting by himself, there's Sid, sitting with a tankard in front of him of his very first beer, and another tankard sitting across from him. And they approach, they see him kind of just like messing with his hands, like flipping something around, but it doesn't have anything in his hands.
And you see approaching you, you see the familiar face of Melody, your old bard, companion, friend.
Bandmate.
Kind of walks through the door, flanked by two figures. You see that Melody's wearing like a sleeveless denim jacket over their leather chest armor. It always kind of looked previously that they were a little bit uncomfortable in it, or at least weren't kind of like fully at ease in armor, and they kind of just like wore it just because they thought they should, going out on an adventure and stuff. But now you also see that on top of that there's like, you know, a leather belt across their chest with a dagger in it. And you see that their rapier's now at their side with a bit more confidence. They kind of have that still usual performer swagger as they walk through the door, you know, with the expectation that everyone's going to instantly recognize them as a bard. But at the moment, all of their instruments are tucked away in a bag of holding. So everyone kind of like looks at them, but no one really
just doesn't. In town.
Yeah. To their right is someone with a hood up, long, like layered skirts and dresses, like layered skirts. So you can't see their legs or feet, but you recognize as you kind of see peeking through the
sunrise.
You see sunrise, and flanked on the left, who does Sid see?
So you see, like a very well-to-do kind of young man, like windswept blonde hair thrown back over his shoulders, all sorts of kind of finery, you know, silk sashes, all this kind of thing with a, you know, like a silver kind of very well ornate kind of flask on their hip, strides in, absolutely matching Melody's usual energy. Takes a look at the vibe around the bar, not what he was hoping for, and follows along after Melody. Absolute cocked eyebrow and smile on his face.
Cid, you know, seeing Melody and Sunrise come in, looks like he kind of like snaps out of, you know, his kind of like talking to himself, you know, over in this corner. Well, does anybody else look like he was talking to himself? Talking to an old friend. Where he's messing with his hands, he kind of like tucks his hand like by his chest real quick. And then stands up and is like, Melody! Sunrise! Oh my gosh! It's so good to see you guys!
It's great to see you! We came for the party, but the party's here? Is this what's...
Just needed to have my first drink with an old friend, you know?
They kind of clock the empty pint. I'm like...
And the sword sitting beside it over on that side.
Is he gone to the bathroom? Or...
Sid looks at it and then... Bing, inside of Melody and Sunrise's head, they hear,
who the fuck is this guy?
Did Mike visit? You get more reports for us? What's this?
No, just don't worry about it. We'll talk later.
Okay. He's kind of looking at us weird because we kind of just stopped talking and...
Hey, you guys have all taken on like a really weird facial expression. I'm the only one talking right now.
Hey, dude, you know, do you want to go grab pints for everybody?
Free here in town if you didn't know.
Oh, wonderful. Apple cider. Okay. It goes to the bar.
So still in the head.
What does this need?
Yeah, so we'll let you fully, he can introduce himself. He's good at that. He likes to do that. But he's cool. We've been traveling together. He's on the level. Michaela has.
Okay.
I don't want to say sent him, but Michaela has asked that come along with me to see you. And look, we know it's your happy birthday. But
hey, thanks.
Can we speak? It's kind of weird. I'm kind of getting weird flashbacks. I'm not really sure. I'm totally.
Don't know. These aren't sports. No, I didn't slip you shrooms.
Okay, well, I mean, you're 18 now, so you can do these things, and that's fine.
I can't do shrooms.
Why not? You're in a town of communists. You got this. It's fine. If anyone can do shrooms, it's probably you guys, right?
I mean, no, that's another
judging
school.
By this. I mean, the songs we sing about town are
probably lies. Anyway, this is a thing I can do now.
Okay.
So while this dude comes over and introduces himself, I'm probably just going to stay in your head a little bit, because...
Yeah, okay.
I don't...
Fine.
So Michaela sent him.
Yeah, look. It's been what, five, six months?
Yeah, 6 months, yeah.
And look, obviously, I got your message. I know it's why I brought Sun along. You know, you have your... No, what do you even call it? Your hearing, your proposal, your presentation, your big...
My thesis defense, yeah.
Yeah, so, well, look, I mean, don't want to be taking too much of your headspace around that. You know, we just kind of wanted to come on, but he's here. He's cool. He's on the level. Look, it's, you know, I picked some things up from you. It's, you know, it's his story to tell if he wants to tell it. I'm sure he will. He's a good guy, but... You know, I told Michaela everything that happened in Stone's Reach with Maynard, Blake.
And the band still exists?
With Khan. I mean, we signed a contract.
Yeah, I just, you know, after an observational thing turned into murdering.
Yeah, so about the whole murdering of the Hoots Force, you know, the land's mighty protectors, or at least, you know, some of the land's mighty protectors. Yeah, turns out, I've actually been working for the past couple of months with Michaela to write some songs about the Hoots Force, and let me just tell you, they are not painting them in a positive light.
Did you actually go forward with the Captain Ahab thing?
Fucking Ahab, okay?
I love it.
So, look, as Michaela told you all those months ago, we're not the first and only band she's approached. You know... Bulwark seemed to be a little bit more than what they had first seemed. Not in a bad way, but she's been working for a while sensing the rot in the Hoots Force and is finding people who hate them just as much as we do.
Yeah, doesn't seem like it would take much.
No.
It seems second nature for them. But that also means that's good. That is good to hear because I can't really use it because it's just hearsay. But it is helps prove my thesis that it is more than just those three that were...
Yeah. Anyway, look, I think he's back from the bar now, so he can introduce himself.
Yeah, you see this golden-haired beauty child is making his way back from the bar.
He
has three apple ciders in his hands. He gets to the table. He gives one to Melody. He passes one kind of your way and he starts, you know, he picks one up himself. Right, here you go. Nobody told me it was your birthday, but they don't take money here. So here's five gold. Anyway.
Did you like
that? This is my new band member, is it?
Well, I mean...
I thought we could call ourselves, Goldie on the Edge, with you sitting here in the corner all sullen and whatnot. You know it's a beautiful day outside, right?
Melody, am I going to kill him? Brain? just give him, as I said, he kind of likes to make a big deal about things, but he's cool. Just play cool, Sid.
So, all right, new band name already, huh?
I think so. I'm open to suggestions, though.
We were previously the Flayer Slayers for, you know, having taken out a Mind Flayer.
You slew a Mind Flayer? What's a Mind Flayer?
Oh, well, yeah, so, it's kind of a delicate subject because...
Was this hush-hush thing you and Michaela were talking about?
A little bit, but also kind of, it's kind of his son's brother here.
Who we also noticed that you, just, you know, didn't get, like, an apple juice for or anything?
Yeah, son didn't want an apple juice, did you, son?
Son kind of looks a little bit like...
Oh, my apologies. Sorry, I didn't think you liked them. Hold on, he flounces back over to the bar. Big old friendly handshake, smiles with the bartender. Another apple juice.
Well, apple juice for her, because she's young.
Yeah, and then gives one to son. My most sincere apologies for that.
Son kind of, like, projects a little bit of, like, begrudging happiness towards you.
Guys, I give her a knowing nod, and then I slip something in my own drink. So, you have suggestions for our new band name. Sorry.
I'm getting
absolutely ahead of myself. My name is Bren Skjelliger. Nice to meet you. And I walk towards the table, duck, like, way too low under one of the crossbeams in the tavern, and then hold out my hand for you to shake.
Sid sticks out his head to, you know, I'll shake your head, but... Very much looking you up and down, you know?
Yeah, massively doesn't get it. Like, huge enthusiastic, like, hand and elbow handshake. Pleasure to meet you. So, you said you had suggestions for the band name.
What are you wearing? Like,
absolute fucking finery.
Nice. I like because, you know, in the 6 months, Sid is wearing even more dark than normal. The hair on top has grown out more. Still the buzz sides, you know, he's kept... Just looks meaner than before with all this.
Yeah.
Ryan gave me some art for, like, the prompts for Sid's new art, and I was like, oh, Sid.
Yeah, and we'll post that probably to coincide with this episode going live, but maybe, Ryan, give a little bit of a visual description of what Sid looks like.
Yeah, Sid has very much taken on a much darker, dimmer demeanor. You know, the world is much darker than he wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And he's also lost Khan, you know. Sid is wearing the belt of giant strength, even though he's got his, you know, dark hoodie on, you know, and his vest and everything. Yeah. So you can't really see that too much. You see it kind of just, like, peeking out or whatever. I don't know if that's how it is in the artwork, but either way.
Yeah, it's kind of just around his waist.
Yeah. So, like, not a big prominent thing like the way Khan would have worn it, you know. But as a result, Sid looks... beefier, you know, than ever.
Yeah,
you know, he's got a 21
when,
strength.
When he shakes your point hands, of damage. You're like, oh, this is like,
whoa, easy there, bud.
like, Sid's got a 21 in strength now. Like, but yeah, the hair has grown out a bit. Just wearing a lot of black. You know, he's got his edgy drow hoodie underneath his vest. And
nice.
So that he's cut the sleeves off of course.
As you're shaking hands and introducing yourself, you feel. Something like nibbling at your ankles.
God! Absolute like dance, spinning dance back from the table up into like a ready stance. Like, you know that video of your man who gets surprised coming into the kitchen and he's like, whoa!
Yes. Like that. I got the power of God and anime on my side.
No, not that guy. He's way too cool.
Sid. Yeah, I just crack up at that scene. You jump at that thing, you know.
Oh yeah, sorry. This is Sid's, you know, our friend. I think he's actually the third bandmate.
Oh, bother! Hold on, one second. Back to the bar. and other apple cider in a little bowl. Here you go, buddy.
An apple cider as in like alcoholic?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Sid's okay with that.
Yeah. Fink does not get drunk. That's not going to do anything
yeah,
to Fink.
Probably, yeah.
But Fink greedily and happily starts lapping away at it. And you see, like, you know the way like a dog or a cat or something would be directly over the bowl lapping? He is a good half a foot back with this hugely grotesque long tongue going like splitting out and like bringing it back into his mouth, and it is disgusting looking.
It's cute looking, you mean.
Well, who am I to judge?
Like, that's think.
Absolutely not what I expected, but who am I to judge? Right, sorry. Band names, you were saying.
No, hold on. So, like, what do you do?
Well, I like to think I generally lighten the room.
Can you hold yourself in a fight?
Oh, yes. Wildly competent. Yes, thank you. They tell stories about how good I am.
All right. Buddy, you're in town. Pretend you're needing to present to, like, I don't know, to the thesis board. Like, tell me about your fighting capabilities.
Yes, okay, no problem. So sometimes when faced with opponents, I will be forced into a fight. In that situation, I will defend myself, and so far have always won.
Hey, Melody, I'm going to kill it.
Is this in the brain? Or
yeah. You guys have gone quiet again.
Yeah, sorry. I guess the circle of trust isn't quite extended.
Hey, don't kill him. He's a lot, but he's okay. We have a travel wound for a few days now. It's not too bad.
All right. So, Bryn.
Yes.
So, you're just part of the band now, huh?
Well, yes. That's how it was explained to me. So, here I am.
Tell me about
ready,
a time.
Ready, willing, and able. I pull out, like, a staff, and I, like, flourish it around a bit. Put it on my shoulder.
Tell me about a time you protected someone else.
Time I protected someone else? Okay. Well, back at the Bulwark HQ, there was a time quite recently where we were all sitting down for dinner, and Michaela was there, and, you know, all the others were there, and there was kind of a bully. We call him Pietro. He was there, and he started taking shots at the fall guy in the group. Well, of course, I was having none of that, so I stood up and said, Pietro, you're being a dick. And then, of course, bringing attention to that situation, then he was forced to either lean into it or back down. And back down he did. So, you know, called Pietro a dick once.
All right.
He is a dick, though, isn't he? Like, you know
him. I mean, I've met him once. He's kind of a dick, yeah.
Yeah, Pietro's a dick. Sorry, what? Did I get your name? I don't think I got your name.
My name is Sid.
Hi, Sid. I'm Bryn.
Hi, Bryn. So. Nice to meet you.
That's a pleasure to meet you too. And Fink, of course.
Yeah, I guess I've got a lot going on with studying right now. I've also kind of abandoned my mom at the party. Look, I'm guessing you guys just got here. You probably need a place to stay tonight, right?
I mean, yeah, that'd be nice if possible.
We've got plenty of room at the house. You know, mom always wanted a big family and dad never gave her that. So we've got a lot of empty rooms. She'd love to have a full house, you know?
Oh, sounds like I'm moving closer to the circle of trust.
No, I'm just a little drunk. It's my first beer ever.
You've had half really? Of that beer.
It's my second one, I promise.
Okay, Sid.
Oh, damn it.
Okay, tell you what. Let's get you drunk.
Oh, man. Okay, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Bryn? More drinks. Get another round there, Bryn.
Absolutely.
Get into the circle of trust.
Dancing over to the bartender. More smiles, more handshakes. Hard whiskey this time. Back around. Here we go. Drink less of this than you did the last one. Slide it across the counter.
Yeah. Sid makes sure that nobody takes Khan's seat. And as he's getting more drunk, starts talking to Khan as if he's there, you know, as well. Like when telling jokes and stuff like that. So... Mm. And I would imagine Melody joins in on some of this, you know?
Yeah, I think that there's like, you know, Melody starts like swapping sort of like, remember he just kicked that beehive for no reason.
Shot it, but whatever. It's the only time he rolled a natural 20.
Shot a beehive for no reason.
Okay, look, I know he shot a beehive, but in this instance, and maybe you've had a couple of drinks, maybe you'll agree with me now, it would be funnier if he kicked it.
No, because that kills the humor when you know that it's not true.
No. It extends the humor.
No.
Bren, what do you think? Is shooting a bee's nest funnier than kicking a bee's nest if you're trying to paint a picture of someone being wildly incompetent?
Well, I mean, if they were wildly incompetent, they wouldn't have been able to work the bow, so I guess shooting is probably the way to go. And I lean in and I'm like, sorry, Melody, but I'm trying to make friends. I'm going to take his side.
Did you just call Khan incompetent, Bren?
Well, it is right there in his name.
Melody, like, just like,
when you do that, suddenly in Sid's hand, this blue wispy dagger just appears out of nowhere, and Sid just slams it into the table.
Let's chill it with talking bad about Khan,
and then the dagger just like disappears.
I don't even know who Khan is, so that shouldn't be too hard to do.
Yeah, okay, kind of a sore point. Let's move on from the Khan stuff. What have you been up to for the last 6 months?
Yes, let's change the conversation.
I've actually been having... yeah. That's actually great. I would love to talk about this. Okay, Melody, I've had having the most exciting time.
Okay.
I have been literally just studying the whole time. It's been so good. And writing my thesis. Like, look at this.
I pull out this
oh no
huge black book, different from the green book, you know, that I had previously under the table. And it's my full thesis, and start going through page after page of, so this is where I'm going to present about the Hoots Force, and this is where, you know, they took our brains out. But you see, it turns out that that's actually related to what they're doing with Dreamwalkers here. My mom's a Dreamwalker, so I've been able to study with them now.
Seven Hells. He's enthusiastic, isn't he?
Yeah, he gets like this.
Sorry, Sid. Consider what?
Watch this.
Slow learner, but...
Pew! Now you're talking into my brain.
Okay, I don't realize I'm doing that, so I'm still talking out loud as well, and you're getting it in stereo. did you say, took out your brain?
And then in your brain, I go,
no, they took out my memories.
Melody, this is weird.
They were so edgy.
Oh, no. Both weird. Okay, this is not... I'm perfectly sober, right? So you guys are talking into my mind? Is this something that's common in town?
No. This is something I thought was only possible through...
Rapport spores.
Yeah, through, you know, getting shroomed up. Maybe...
These guys
we're given supplies from the Bulwarks.
You're actually talking through your dreams.
Okay, Sorry, no, exactly. He's lost me now.
I think probably went a bit hard.
Look,
with whiskey.
Look, it's where these person. Come from, and I pull out another little like ethereal dagger. Look, I can make these things.
You couldn't do that before.
Well, that's the thing. Maybe I always could have.
Kind of seems like it was the kind of thing that you maybe leveled up into.
It is. Soul knife.
Sid, you were just talking about the Hoots Force there. Bren here also doesn't like the Hoots Force.
Oh, yeah. Fuck the Hoots Force.
Oh, yeah. Fuck the Hoots Force. Yeah. Every single one of them's a bastard.
Yeah, nice. All Hoots Force. They are bastards.
All Hoots Force are bastards.
Yeah.
Goes without saying. I wish more people understood that.
Yeah. Nice, dude. Did you kill one?
No, I didn't.
I am, and inside your brain, because I'm talking more out loud, but kind of in the back of your head, you hear,
still struggling and emotionally dealing with this.
actually,
looking at Melody, like,
actually,
yeah.
Fed one to Fink.
Looks under the table.
Fink is like chewing at your boot.
Just pulls that away. flicks a scrap of meat or something over, so he goes away. That low key thing where you don't want to like insult their dog, so you throw some food on the other side of the room so it goes away, kind of thing. Well, look, you know, I've never killed one. Wouldn't be boasting about it if I did, but
why not?
Doesn't seem to do. You know, just doesn't seem to do. But you know, you do you. You seem the big burly type with the big sword. Maybe killing lots of people is your jam.
Melody, I'm one of the big burly types now.
Yeah, look, let's not get his ego up too much, okay? But,
Sorry.
Also, Melody...
The sword's looking good on you, though, Sid. I'll give you that.
Thanks. I Doesn't feel right to train with it, you know?
Yeah. So, can you swing it?
I can swing it. Not like, I wouldn't use it in a battle, you know? But if there's a Hoots force that needs decapitated, that's the job for it.
Well, this got dark real sudden.
Not realizing that I can't, like, cut you out of this conversation.
He's all Reggie, isn't he?
Forgetting that we're all in the same brain space.
We've all been through some things.
Yeah.
By the way, Melody.
He's a step away from wearing purple. I'm just let's put it that way.
By the way, Melody, Fink can't join the circle. Mom says that he should be able to, but that it must be a mental block for me.
Well, look, we've all heard. Well, sorry, some of us have heard Fink speak. We don't need to hear that again. That's...
Oh, he can speak? Hello, buddy. How are you?
Fink.
Oh, yes, you can say the one word, I see.
Fink. Yeah, so, I mean, look. Yeah, look, Sid, kind of cut to the chase here. Yeah, we're being called back into action if that's something that you're off. We don't want to force you to do anything, but
what are we doing?
Well, topic has come up. It's about the Hoots Force.
Listening.
We all of us have reason to hate the Hoots Force, and maybe Brennan will tell it when he's ready. But suffice it to say, Michaela has vouched for him. There is another battle of the bands, this time out in Azumakia, in their capital, Dolana.
Brings up memories. Sid does not like how that feels.
You and me both, baby.
We look. Here's the thing about it, though. It's not like this one that was, you know, that you guys, you know, almost won, that set you on this path. That was small fry business. That was like for no offense for beginners and amateurs. This one, the Hoots Force are going to be there. They're not competing, but they're there to see who can potentially be recruited.
It's a recruit force.
So we're going to go, and while they're distracted watching, we're going to cut their heads off.
Look, that might be a little...
Oh, I like how you think, Melody. No, cut their limbs off. Oh, so that
okay.
way they can still
look,
talk.
Look. Well, you have the right of it there, okay? If we can get them to talk, great. I think we should find out more information. If some Hoots Force need killing, and they kind of like tap their dagger on their chest, then Hoots Force need killing. We've been there before, we can go there again. But it's a good opportunity to get close, find out what they know, get information straight from the horse's mouth.
That doesn't make any sense. Why would we talk to their horses?
What's oh my horse? God, I hate you all so much. Information, first-hand information.
Why would you say it in a lie?
They're saying we need to do some sleuthing. You understand? Sleuthing.
Yeah.
Let's get our sleuth on.
Basically.
So we don't need to talk to their horses?
Melody here can be the sleuth with a loot.
I mean, you're a ranger. You can probably speak to animals.
No.
Well, learn.
No, I had better spells to pick.
I can speak to animals.
Okay, well then, yeah, perfect. Look, Bren here's proving his worth already. We're going to go to Hoots Force and we're going to speak to their horses.
All right. That was weird. Why do we need... Bren, wouldn't we be better off getting the information from the Hoots Force and not their horses?
I hate you guys so much. So much.
Yeah. You know, that does sound like...
Melody or Dylan?
Both.
That's Dillity.
Dillity! I was going to say melon. That's just terrible.
Melon. All right, so I can tell we're going to be best friends. Throw my arm around his shoulder.
not a fan of that.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's getting late. We've kind of been, you know, chatting for a while. How about we all head back and then look tomorrow? You still have a couple of days before your presentation, right? Or 2 days? We can.
I don't know.
Yeah.
DM, how many days do I have?
I'm telling you, you've got a couple of days. Oh. You know, if there's any help we can give, maybe you want part of your thesis to be put into a song.
I don't think the elders would appreciate that.
Okay, well, the elders need to get better judgment.
Does your thesis rhyme?
No, but I can show you how I set out my bibliography. Look at this.
Oh, well, look at the time. It's time.
We really, really should get going before it gets too dark outside.
Yeah, you,
By the way.
Yeah?
Is that tablespoon platinum?
Oh, yeah. Oh. It kind of looks like it.
Yeah, the barman was using a solid gold bin. Is that normal?
Yeah, what's
Melody, is this that thing you and Con were trying to tell me about, that these are actually, like,
worth something outside? Like, yeah, super flimsy. No, so they gave us...
You've been out in the real world for... You know what money is and the value of things.
I know what money is, kind of. I made one purchase successfully, and that was a Sloppy Joe sandwich.
Oh,
Sloppy Joe's. I bought a book, and I'm... Colin is pretty sure I paid, like, three times as much as I should have.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
So, no, Melody, I don't have a good grasp on precious metals and their words.
Okay, well, you probably should. This might be... Look, hey, do you think we can just take some of these forks and things? They could go well...
That's what I was going to say. Should we just take some of these? Do you mind if we just take some forks for the road and give Melody a wink?
Hey, Margo.
Yeah?
These dudes want your shit forks.
Margo and me are tight.
The shiny ones that bend when the food gets too hot?
Yeah.
Yeah, fine.
Okay, yeah. There you go.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. And you see, I kind of put it, like, into my robe.
Yeah, mark on your inventory that you have a platinum fork.
Fucking platinum fork.
So glad I chose platinum. That's me for the campaign now, thank you.
We have money again.
No, I'm not dealing with fucking money again. I can't do it. I've got enough things to be prepping, not economies.
Oh, economy. I'm sad again.
Economy.
That's what, yeah. Glad you're here with me on this joke.
Yeah.
That's the joke, that JPEG.
And just like con, the economy is also dead. Maybe. I don't know. I'm recording this in the past. If it
Woof.
Is.
Woof.
I hope not.
What are we doing?
Going to sleep. Going. I think we go to sleep, right?
Everybody hears in their head, because my mom is also a dreamwalker, and this thing apparently lasts for multiple hours and from a mile away, is how it's written in the book. You just hear,
said time to go home.
Yeah. I heard there was a party. Is that the thing?
I mean, yeah. So what? It's lock up. We got to head back out. After party!
After party sounds good to me. Let's go.
Everyone's... Melody too
takes,
sensible.
Melody takes out.
I scurry back in to Margo and come back with like four more apple cider vinegars.
Apple cider vinegars.
They just seemed a bit flat, you know.
It's disgusting.
Just absolutely next to them. Like, okay, getting there. Yeah. You see him spike his own drink.
Sid absolutely knows something is wrong.
Yeah, you guys go back. You kind of, you know, maybe I think Ashley
chat with mom.
Yeah, your mom is probably very kind of like.
Say Ashling?
Yeah.
Is that my mom's name? Yeah. Now? I thought it was just going to be Lana, my real mom's
no,
name.
No. Oh. Because
Ashlana. Actually, very fantasy name.
You want to know a wild coincidence? I had written your mom's name as Ashling way before you had mentioned anything in like the last season about her being a dreamer or anything. And Ashling is the Irish for dreamer.
Yeah. That's wild.
Actually fucking nuts.
Wild. There
yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. And then when it came up, I was like, huh. I'm pretty glad I chose that name.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
You see, your mom's very kind of like happy to see you talking to other people, you know, particularly around like, hi,
Bren Skelliger, good friend
hey,
of your son's.
Mom, it's Melody.
Ah, sure. Melody, that's so nice to see you. Finally, I've heard so much about you. Come on. Sing us one of your stories. Sing us one of your songs. We absolutely love to have that. We love to have that.
And here's Sunrise. I thought you were going to end up being her new mom, but it turns out we found your old mom.
Oh, well, I mean, look, I can be as many moms as I need. There's always room and love in this house.
Ah, yeah.
But look, ever sit down, look, you got a drink. Oh, who's your other friend here?
Hi there. Nice to meet you. Bren Skeller. I'm a good friend of Sid's.
Ah, Sid, right? Sid, you never told me about this one.
I met this dude today.
And you're already best friends?
Absolutely. I can just tell he's a good soul.
aren't you just the sweetest thing?
Why, thank you.
Give me a deception check.
Lying to someone.
That's a natural one.
You've lied to
holy shit the
a
first
scholar in town.
Not only a scholar in town, a respected and somewhat powerful dreamer in town.
I'm like staring at her with like flashing a smile, like, you know, running my hand through my golden swept hair.
Yeah, as you run your hand through your golden swept hair.
Golden swept hair, yes.
You see, Ashton kind of looks at you and is like, you really pay a lot of attention to that hair. Ears there.
Yeah, huh. Well, you know, you get it looking this good, you just kind of want to revel in it.
Oh, what's this now?
Don't want to, you know, cause anyone any, like, you know, inhospitality, but Brandon, you really who you saying you are?
Hey, not cool, dude. Yeah. Why would you say? Why would you say something like that?
Kind of just you know, little bit weird. You know, you ever heard of the dreamers and like the ethereal plane and how everything's a bit of a...
No, I wouldn't know anything about other planes.
Okay. Hey.
I'm like sweating bullets, staring at Melody, like absolutely wide-eyed, like, help me.
What's going on?
Melody's like, yeah, you would, yeah, actually, it's okay. And just, no, Melody, I kind of, you know, don't really appreciate, you know, people coming in to my house and, you know, pretending to be people they aren't. You know, I kind of...
Guys, it's wild. Like, when I was a kid, if I tried to get away with stuff, because my mom could actually see two people sometimes. Like, she can see the other side of you. It's wild. So I, like, couldn't get away with anything. Ever.
Piss.
Hey, Melly, would you do me a favor? You know, I've heard you kind of got some magical skills. You wouldn't happen to be able to dispel some magic for a second, would you?
Melody? Be cool, Melody.
It's my, look.
All right, fine. Do you know what? Fine. Fucking cat's out of the bag anyway. Whip off the ring.
What happens?
What happens, Jim?
Okay, yeah, you see this blonde, fantastic-looking courtier falls away, and left in their place is something quite similar to Sunrise, I guess, in that it's kind of, you know, same height, same build, red skin, very, very dark hair, still swept back magnificently, of course, still fantastically well-appointed robes, all that kind of thing. Golden eyes, but you can see two horns, very similar to Sun's, protruding through his onyx locks.
Why do you go around making yourself look ugly all the time when you're a cutie?
Do you know, Sid, that is genuinely warms my heart to hear you say that, but unfortunately that's not an opinion held by the world at large, is it, Sunrise?
Sunrise shakes her head.
So unfortunately, needs must. Pops back on the ring, and you see somebody equipped for driving a caravan standing in front of you.
Sid's like, yeah, Mom, look, and Sunrise is like that too. And like pulls her hood back, you know, being drunk.
Dude, not
like,
cool.
And like ruffles her hair. It's like, look how cute she is.
No. Going to immediately like go over there, interject, and like pull you off her.
Yeah, Sunrise kind of like pulls back a bit, like kind of like, knowing that you're not meaning any harm, but like it's like still very kind of like,
yeah, no, like in one motion I'm going to like pull your hand off her and pull her hood back up.
Mm. Oh guys, mom is cool.
It doesn't matter your opinion on who is cool, because these things can blindside us very, very quickly. So maybe we will ex-nay on the pulling disguises off of people.
Ugh, fine.
Yeah, see, look.
See, best friends. It's all good.
Make me a charisma check.
That's a 6, but I'm going to use a luck point.
Yeah, nice.
And re-roll that. That's a 3. Going to burn another luck point. And re-roll that. There we go. Natural 20.
You got there in the end.
And it only cost most of my resources.
Well, look. Sid's told me a lot about different people he's encountered in his journeys. Seem like a nice guy.
Look, Mom, I respectfully do apologize for bringing a deception under your roof, but you have to understand that for me that is an absolute necessity.
I can understand. There's been talks and stuff going on about, you know, what's his experience and what, you know, what people like to, whose force are out there doing. So yeah, I can understand why you're like this, but
Mom, that's kind of like how you always said that like dreamers just like recorded dreams, but it turns out you can like make weapons and erase memories.
I'm
and
just
like
locking eyes with her. we got your son drunk.
He's 18. He'll learn in the morning when he wakes up like a hellhound in his head. All right, so that's not offensive to use it.
Probably wildly, but I'll let it slide on account of the earlier deception.
Okay, good. I appreciate that. Now we're equal. All right, we're all equal.
That's right. Even funny. Hey, Sid, we're all best friends.
Okay.
Melody, I made two friends.
The circle has gotten bigger.
Loudly in everyone's head, Sid goes, think
Come on, I gotta shit real bad. I think I'm gonna puke too.
Fink?
Fink's the only one that doesn't hear it.
Yeah, everyone kind of like devolves into a bit more of like a drunken mess. Eventually, everyone heads off into you know various rooms and things and sleeps off. Like, you're probably like in the early hours of the morning, probably at this point before you actually go to bed. It was just the five of you up up most of the night. And in the morning, through maybe a haze of a hangover, Sid, you hear your mom knocking on your door.
Oh,
well, what? Well, I told you it was gonna be like that. Come on, Sid, get up.
Okay.
Someone here to speak to you. Someone wants some ranger stuff done.
Bren springs up off the floor where he was lying next to your bed because we're best friends and goes, oh, new friend. Nice. Let's go.
Why are you here? You had your own room.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. Anyway, we're going to go meet our new friend.
As a ranger, can I tell who's at the door if it's who I think it is, if it's ranger business?
You can describe to me how you might be doing that and that will affect the answer.
Okay. Because she said ranger business.
Yeah.
I immediately am going to like go into much more of a stealthy mode and like just try and like real easy like peek out from the side of a wall, you know, just to see.
So are you like going out your window and trying to come around or something, or
just
what's
to
your...
see? I just want to see who's at the front door. You know, it's my own house, so I'd have some kind of way of like,
yeah. We'll say that your room is like upstairs and you can kind of like look down. You can like
do the granny thing
of peeking out of the curtain.
Is it a big hulking mass?
It is not a big hulking mass of a person.
I was going to send Bryn to go make a new best friend and see how that went.
You see another, he's probably 17 or 18, kind of similar build to you.
Looks huge and buff?
Oh, similar build to what you used to be.
Oh, okay.
Wearing the brown robes of a keeper, and I'm gonna throw this at you, Ryan/Sid here.
Okay,
Sid would probably recognize him as Tyler, who was a very very minor NPC from the first arc.
Rowan arc.
in the battle of the bands. He was one of the Joy Division.
Yeah,
and you remember him being kind of like an awkward kid trying to find this place.
Really awkward about trying to make friends.
So awkward about his friends. You may or may not know, and I'm going to let you decide what Sid knows, that he came to town to be a keeper about 3 or 4 months ago. Town's pretty big, though. It's very possible that you've maybe not crossed paths, especially if you've been studying.
Did he join a nature-based?
He has not essentially picked his... Yeah, he has not picked his major yet. Okay. He is, because he is fresh to town, he is doing like general studies.
Well, no, because it's been 6 months and like all the other cities will send like students in, you know, for like, what do you all call it here in Ireland? Like, you know, their year away doing
Erasmus.
Yeah, to study somewhere
great
else.
Great name for an NPC.
So I'd say that if that's the case of how people from outside usually come in, you would probably definitely know that he has arrived because he has not arrived as part of that. He has arrived of his own will. He was not part of a delegation or anything like that.
He's one of the ones that chose to join. Then, yeah, people would know about that because that's much more rare.
Yes, so. Quite rare.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's been in the town for a couple of months. I don't know if you've met him or not.
Oh, yeah,
we
met for coffee, you know.
Okay.
He came, you know, chatted. I would have heard about him coming. He would have had no way of knowing Sid was there. So Sid would have found him like at the library or something like that.
Yeah, I would say that there's probably actually...
Or maybe when he came in, he's like, oh, I know Sid.
Yeah.
And people would have known Sid.
And people definitely would have been talking about Sid a fair bit. Because what Sid is doing in the next day or two is wildly unusual. With presenting to the elders, it's not something that happens at this stage of someone's studies.
So did Herman get me in to actually present to the elders and not just like, you know?
Yeah, you know that your presentation coming up is in front of elders.
So this is like a PhD level.
Yes. This is, usually if this is just your thesis, there might be an elder in the room, but you'd be presenting to Herman.
Yeah.
And maybe a couple of Herman's...
There'd be the nature... you know, the natural studies
exactly
would be there.
Exactly. And then maybe a couple of other natural science professors as kind of like just as his peers in the area. But for you to be, you know, you're going to be presenting two elders.
I imagine I'm presenting with Herman as my...
You know that Herman will be there with you, and he's kind of been, you know, preparing your research and your thesis and your work a lot.
He'll be in the circle with me.
He'll be in the circle with you, but it's your work
that
you're presenting. But anyway, you see Tyler in front of your front door.
Hey, what's up, dude?
Sid. Hey, how are you?
Sorry for leaving the party last night. I just...
Oh, no, it's fine. It's okay. Herman sent me. He said he wants you to there's been reports of like something on the outsides of the hauler. Is that you guys? I'm not used to the words you guys are using here yet. But yeah, saying that someone called Boggity Bill has lost a sheep and
okay,
he wants you to. Yeah, seemingly Herman reckons something big, but, you know, hey, if anyone can do it, you can.
Yeah, arrange your business stuff. Have you chosen an elective yet? If you're out with Herman, are you doing natural study stuff?
At the moment, but I'm not sure. I'm not really sure. I'm maybe thinking the arcane, but, you know.
So are you coming along with? Or
oh no, I just kind of I got sent. I mean.
Oh, are you working for Herman today?
Yeah.
Oh shit! You better get back, dude.
Well, he just kind of asked me.
Yeah. Sorry for asking questions.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I gotta go.
Yeah.
Bye, friend.
Bye. Yeah, but Tyler runs off. And you would know where like the farmland is and stuff, particularly where like, you know, sheep and stuff are pastured.
I know Boggity Bill.
Yeah, you probably know of Boggity Bill. He's kind of a bit of a character that gets around.
He's a sheep farmer outside.
Yep. So yeah, what do you guys do?
Guys, we have work to do.
You know, Sid is 18. You remember when you were 18 and you would get really drunk and your hangover like disappeared in like an hour?
Yeah.
Like, Sid's fine. the rest of the party, I don't know how they're feeling.
Yeah, Melody's like, hang on. I need to sing myself a song to feel better.
Yeah. Sid puked a bit last night and he is A-okay.
Bren has infernal constitution.
Oh. Nice, yeah.
Yeah, so you guys kind of round up your stuff, get going, head up towards...
Sunrise, you can hang out here with Mom. Like,
Sunrise kind of like nods. You know, you see Ashley's already kind of serving up breakfast and things, and like Sun looks very happy. She's going to be sitting there.
Mom, take her down to the pastry school today.
Sure, I can do that. Yeah.
Yeah, let her have one of those cakes that we...
Oh, not to... Oh, just to get her some stuff? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I thought you were, you know, fixing to enroll her or something. Oh.
Mom, come on. Everybody needs to study all the time. Mom.
Hey, look, I had a great time doing, you know, a little pastry elective. It served me well. It served everyone well. A little bit of time.
But she just hears a
little
visitor.
Bit of, you know, you get needing that dough. You get, you know, it's the precise science of the bacon. Just really kind of is real therapeutic. Maybe you can do it sometimes. See, you know, you're always just sitting this and there. You've been there for, you know, the last couple of months. And you've been... Sometimes you've just been brooding a lot. I think you guys should be doing something real positive and productive with yourself. Not just running around, you know, getting into trouble and spending all the time in your books. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying spending time in your books is bad.
I know, Mom. I'm just saying, just show her some good old holler hospitality.
Yeah, okay, come on. Okay, look, we'll get her into some appropriate clothes and get some robes on her. No one will question it, and we'll get some treaties going.
Nice.
As you guys are having this conversation, Bren is going to make his way over to Sun and be like, you okay to stay here?
Sun, like...
Seems safe enough.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, if you go outside, put up, eyes down, yes?
She nods, like, kind of little serious kind of face.
Give her a fist bump.
Yeah,
and then do one of these, like...
Oh, Mom.
An illusion of sparkles that comes from the...
Every time. Six fuck. Okay.
Mom, you need to connect brains with Sun.
If I won't connect...
She can't talk.
Look, well, that's why we got sign language.
Yeah, cool. Does Sun...
Yeah, Jim, you don't know this, do you? Dylan and I talked about this. Everyone in town knows sign language because
You're not supposed to speak in libraries.
Libraries are quiet. Love it. Yeah. Love it.
There is a standing rule that as soon as you're within 50 meters of the library, you have to do sign language.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem.
Which also makes up how I never had the spoken part of the thieves' cant that I'm supposed to have from Rogue.
Okay, so that's nice. I like that. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, you get your stuff together and you head up to, you know, where the pasture of Boggity Bill is. And yeah, you start walking up and you see just this dwarf kind of out in his field. He's kind of like random things and he sees you coming. He's like, "Oh, about time he got here."
"Hey, Bill. Heard you've been having some sheep problems."
"Well, isn't little Sid? What's going on?" "Yeah, me old Deirdre's gone missing."
"All right."
"Yep. So, Sid,
Deirdre.
Deirdre.
Okay. Where'd she get off to?"
Well, that's the thing. There's been, you know, fucking rumors of things going around. If you look around here, Sid, there's something right peculiar here."
"And did Bloodhound Bobby not pick up the trail anywhere?"
"Well, Bloodhound Bobby's kind of, you know, gone a bit. Getting a bit old in his age, you know?"
"Fair. Yeah, I guess you've had Bloodhound Bobby since I was a kid." "Yeah.
Yeah, well, look.
Is there a dog there?"
"Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a Bloodhound."
Ran straight over and, like, petting the dog and everything.
And this dog's, like, real old, kind of, like, just, like, barely acknowledges your existence.
Yeah, give him a scrap of meat from the
pet. Clearly a dog that is not out in the fields anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, you're kind of, like, at the edge of his, like, farmhouse, you know? "Here, look, gonna show you this. It's a bit weird." And he brings it to a kind of like patch that's kind of going up now, kind of out of the holler, out of the valley, kind of, you know, more to where you know, sheep and goats and stuff would graze. And he's like, "You know, not sure what you make of this, but kind of looks like a bit like a thunder or lightning storm here, doesn't it?" And he sees there's kind of like, unlike if lightning had hit a tree and there's, like, you know, a distinct mark on the ground, it's like that same mark but, like, spread across the ground in, like, a long line. "Not sure what you make of that. I mean I know the blue dragons and stuff be shooting their lightning, but ain't none of them around. But if you could go and have a look, that'd be great. I mean, kind of a bit worried about Deirdre."
"Yeah.
Sorry, absolutely. Deirdre? Is this something I should know, or
sheep?"
"Oh, Deirdre. I just assumed it was a deer. Okay.
No, right. Deirdre.
Deirdre. Okay.
It's his prize
sister,
sheep.
Barbie.
Barbie.
Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic.
Prize okay. sheep.
Prize it, sheep. Yeah. Is that it's a big thing around
most
here?
Most of these sheep here are Deirdre's offspring.
Oh, so it's like a, this is your, you're like a sheep farmer, is it?
Are
you? All right. Okay. That's interesting. That's cool. Do you enjoy your work?
I mean, I enjoy it more when I've got my sheep.
Yeah, that's solid.
Do you enjoy, what are you, some sort of caravan driver?"
Look down. "Yes, I drive caravans."
"Well, I mean, you can drive yourself up to the hills and figure out what's going on then. Make yourself useful."
"Absolutely.
No time for lollygagging around a farm."
"It's like I always say, who can solve this problem? Caravican." And keep, I walk away.
He's a new student here.
"Oh, is that it? He might learn to be a bit less, you know, out there."
"We're, you know, ranger studies. We're teaching him to be silent." "Okay. You know?
Well, good.
Step one."
"Yeah.
Hey, yeah. So let's go." "Yeah, Bryn."
"Yes.
Go."
Sorry, just making some normal conversation there. Go on.
"Go straight into the brain stuff. I don't even have to use anything the first time I use this.
Nuts.
It's wild." And I go.
"Welcome to the Bryn brain."
I go.
"So, insane in the brand brain."
You haven't done much ranger stuff."
"Ranger stuff.
How are you at being sneaky?"
"Oh, very good. Watch this."
You're silent. I like it. Okay.
I mean, this is an improvement.
Yeah. So Melody has seen this. Step one. Well, yeah. We gotta track something. How are you at tracking?"
"Tracking. Yes. I'm probably the best, you know."
"Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah."
"Okay, yeah, well, I mean..."
"Here in town, we're all about learning, so show me what you can do."
"Yes, okay, so we're looking for a lost sheep. Sheep, however, have four legs, so we're looking for tracks that have more than two sets of prints."
"He's better than Khan."
"It's true."
True.
Now, it probably went up the hill. So let's do a big circle. Yes, let's do a big circle and see if we can't find some tracks. And I roll for tracks.
Yeah, roll survival.
That's a tree. That's a tree!
Yeah, okay. Maybe, Sid, you want to take the lead on this particular leg?
Oh, by a circle, I think you had meant following the trail of, you know, the markings, like, left by whatever, you know, had taken it, right?
Yes, the trail. The trail that it left behind by impression on the ground with its hooves. Its hooves,
the
yes.
Burn marks.
Yeah, the burn marks, them too. Yes. Sorry, yeah, they probably factor into this somehow, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing my...
Yeah, give me a survival.
Primeval awareness.
Oh, primeval awareness, nice. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, that's not a roll. That just happens.
What? Remind me again what happens with this.
Do I show up on that?
No, you're not a beast. Are you a beast?
No.
I mean, I am a beast, but not in that sense.
Tieflings aren't.
No.
Oh, sorry, primeval to me is like devilish things.
No, okay. No. More like primeval as in like dinosaurs.
Oh, like, okay, yes.
Has your primeval awareness upgrades or anything yet?
No.
Okay. So it's just for beasts because it's your favorite enemy thing, right?
Which would include the sheep.
It would include sheep. God damn it. Episode one of New Ark and I'm already fucked by ranger bullshit. I was like, he's not going to find anything. No, yeah.
Yeah, no. You got to tell me exactly what direction it's in.
I do, and I'm considering if the sheep is still alive or not. Yeah, no, fuck it. It's too good. You know exactly where Deirdre is.
I go this way, kiddos.
You go up into, more up into the hills now, and you are getting, like, pinging and pinging and pinging of this, like, sheep radar that you have going on. And
I can't think of a funny word for sheep radar, but all I can think of is badar.
Getting slowly sleepier as I count sheep.
Yeah.
As you approach, give me... You know you're getting close, Sid. What do you do?
Yeah, Melody has seen this 100 times.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe it's a bit rusty. I don't know how much they've been practicing their stealthiness. But
you get the opinion that Melody has actually been practicing with their sword more than their stealthiness lately.
Okay. So, yeah, having to remind them a little bit of don't be con. I imagine, Brent... Are you actually good at being stealthy?
Oh, yeah, wildly so.
Okay, yeah.
So, wildly so.
So just pulling everybody into stealth mode, you know, as we approach. And, you know, just keeping an eye out. Like, what am I seeing as I'm approaching this, you know, from the shadows?
Well, let's make a stealth roll.
Absolutely, I am happy to do so.
25 for Brent.
Just waiting until he asks.
That's okay. I assume that if my wildly so is nothing compared to Sid leveled up, so...
Sid, so 25 for Bren?
25 for Bren.
Very respectable. Sid?
28 for Sid before I roll my d6 on top of it, so...
I mean, that's...
For the listener,
that's
where
no,
is that
you...
d6 coming from?
Is one of my psionic things. If he tells me I fail something, I can boost it with a d6.
Yeah.
And if I still fail, I get my D6 back. I don't even expend it.
What?
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
You said to me this, I was like, this is a very broken thing. but it's cool.
And it gives me 6 of those. And if I just want another one once per long rest, I can just go, I just want another one. I don't know why they didn't just give me 7, but...
That's funny. Yeah. Like...
Just make it 7.
I suppose they just wanted one to be, you know...
I don't know.
It just takes up extra space written.
Yeah. You see that despite Melody trying to go as stealthily as they can, just not quite that stealthy.
Except that all companions traveling with me travel as stealthy due to my natural explorer.
Fine. You see... rising from... like a dip, like a hidden cave or like a hidden, not quite a sinkhole, but you know, not like a large cave in the side of a mountain or side of a cliff. You see rising up from this hole in the ground is a large dragon-esque mouth, but it's more like a Chinese dragon for our listeners and for you guys. In that it is like serpent-like, long
like
body,
serpent,
a worm.
Yes, it is a worm. It's got like,
oh my god,
six sets of legs, and you see it rears up, and you see it opens its mouth, and lightning begins crackling in it. As we'll ask you to roll initiative, and we'll find out how this fight happens on the next episode.
That was fun.
Hey, thanks for joining us for the start of this new arc. Stick around to hear a brand new track from Brighter, one of our favorite singer-songwriters from the UK. And as always, stay fancy.
Still unsure of where we'll leave this doubt. Could it be more than I am meant to climb? I'm finding out these dulcet tones flying round seduce me while I hit the ground. But it's all right now. All I hope and all I have to say. So fearful of debating whether or not I'll ever leave this cloud. What I need right now is a home from home. We're miles out, but I'll mess it up. Let you down between the lines is where I'm bound. But it's all right now.